It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Agriculture is, of course, a key part of the Illinois economy, but recent changes to federal food funding are putting pressure on some farmers and the communities that rely on their products. Programs like Illinois Eats, funded by the U.S. Department of Agriculture during the Biden administration, aim to help farmers sell directly to food banks and communities with food insecurity. But as of this week, that $14 million program and many like it across the country have been shut down. That's because the Trump administration froze the Local Food Purchase Assistance Program, or the LFPA. The cuts affect some 176 Illinois farmers. Some organizations have not yet exhausted their funds and have enough money to last through the end of September, but beyond that, the future is uncertain. Joining me to talk more about this is Heather Edwards, Executive Director of Rooted for Good in DeKalb County. The organization's funding from this program ran out earlier this week. Also with us, Austin Flam, the owner of Flam Orchards, one of the farms that was counting on this program, and Jonathan Kopess, an agriculture law and policy expert at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Thanks to all of you for being here. Welcome. And a couple minutes until we need to take a break, so let's just sort of set a baseline. Heather Edwards, I'll start with you. Tell me more about Illinois Eats program and what it meant for your organization.
Yes, the Illinois Eats program was very important to our organization. It allowed us to work with local farmers and purchase in high quality protein, dairy, and produce from them, and then distribute it to our neighbors that are food insecure.
What did it mean to that this funding is now gone away or going away?
Well, now that it's going away, our neighbors aren't going to have as many options and choices. You know, we were able to get things in like sour cream and different produce that maybe is a little more delicate. You know, it doesn't last as many days once it's harvested. And so we were able to get in that product because we were working with farmers that lived so close to our organization, and then we were able to distribute it quickly to our neighbors. And so our neighbors now won't have that kind of variety to choose when they come to see us at our events.
Sure. Austin Flam, owner of Flam Orchards, talk about what difference this program made for your farm.
Yeah, the Illinois Eats program made a huge difference on our farm last season. It allowed us to have new market outlets. It allowed us to grow new crop varieties that we otherwise wouldn't because of the opportunity to have these outlets. I've talked a lot about this to multiple people, and one thing that I always come back to, it was a top-to-bottom win. Not only did it support the farmer and the people that we employ, and our local economy. It largely, the lead agencies were food banks across the state of Illinois. It supported the food banks by giving them this fresh, nutritionally dense product, whether it be protein or produce or dairy. And most importantly, it was allowing the food insecure families across the state of Illinois an opportunity to get their hands on something that they otherwise may not have been able to.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to take a break. We will continue talking about this on the other side. This is the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the recent elimination of federal funding that aimed to connect farmers with organizations that help hungry people in Illinois. My guests are Heather Edwards, Executive Director of Rooted for Good in DeKalb County, Austin Flam of Flam Orchards in Cobden in Southern Illinois, and Jonathan Kopess, Professor of Agricultural Law and Policy at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. You can join us today at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Jonathan, give us, I want to come to you now, give us a broad overview of how federal agricultural policy has been changing during the first few months of the Trump administration.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and happy to contribute a little bit to this conversation. I think this funding freeze issue Has probably been one of the most prominent changes, that and obviously the tariff conflict that is likely to impact farmers. But in terms of policy, these funding freezes or elimination of different programs or funds, everything from conservation investments to research to the programs like we're talking about here that help local producers. And the first thing that from a high level that jumps out is just the level of uncertainty that has been created by this. Oftentimes we're talking about basically the government breaching a contract, whether that's a contract to pay for conservation reimbursements or a contract for research grants, or in this case, the potential breach of a contract that was being counted on as farmers produce and as food banks and others are seeking to procure food for their customers or their constituents. And so that's probably been one of the biggest, I don't know if I'd call it a policy change, but it's certainly been one of the biggest changes we've seen, is this willingness to raise concerns about contracts and leave a lot of uncertainty in its wake.
Heather, are you talk about how uncertainty is affecting your organization and plans you might have made, earlier this year or last year that now have to change because of this.
Yes, so now because we know we aren't going to be able to get any more of this product in, we have changed and been asking some of the farmers if they would have the ability to do any wholesaling with us. Being a food pantry, we cannot afford to pay retail prices. And so we, are trying to see how many of the farmers are willing to work with us outside of this funding, so that we can help support them still.
All right, I'm going to play a little bit of tape here. One of our producers, Layla Nazarova, spoke with Michaela Buck. She's with Illinois Extension and assisted the Illinois Eats program. She couldn't join us live, but Austin, I'm going to ask you to respond to what she had to say.
I received lots of phone calls from farmers across the entire state who were, and to this day, I receive these phone calls where farmers are really upset. They have already planted extra seedlings in the ground. They were really ramping up production to fulfill the needs of this program. And then to have that cut off short makes it really challenging already on a business that is so hard to make money that most farmers have full-time off-farm jobs.
All right, Austin Flam of Flam Orchards. I wonder if any of that resonates with you, and if not, or if it does, but you can just talk about how these cuts, might affect your operations.
Yeah, I mean, it resonates very much so. We've kind of put a pencil to it during all of this, the cutting process, and we figure we've spent close to $750,000 in an upfront investments between the labor, between seed costs, between field preparation, and many, many other inputs. And that's money that we did in anticipation for this next year of funding that has essentially been wiped off the table for us. I think it's extremely important to have something like this available, especially crop farmers. This was a good program, and everyone knew that it was only going to be around for 2 years. But to get it cut in half, it's pretty devastating. And from the farmer perspective, you can't decide this week that next week you're going to participate in something. It's a multiple months or even a year out in planning and advanced preparation to get ready to do something like this.
What are you able to do, if anything, or how are you thinking about, looking for new markets to sell your goods or to try and make up for this?
I mean, yeah, it's finding new markets, it's going through different avenues. It's just that survive and advance mentality. Being a farmer, every day of your life is a gamble, and it's something that, we're going to roll with the punches on this, but it's very, very frustrating whenever you consider the fact that especially crop growers do not get the government assistance, whether it be the Farm Bill or especially programs like this. Near like commodity farmers do, and we're out here struggling to compete in a world where we have to pay an adverse effect wage to everybody that we employ. We're competing with foreign grown produce coming into the American growing season without a tariff on it, and between the market's being driven down and inputs being driven up. Every year is a struggle, and it gets harder and harder.
Jonathan Coppes, put these cuts into the context of the full federal budget. How much money are we saving here?
I mean, and it's almost absurd. And Austin makes a really good point on this. I mean, this is such a small spending item in the federal budget as to be almost, you can't count it. It's so small. It's really even small in terms of the federal budget for agriculture. I mean, if you think about the amount of money, for example, last Congress, they added a $30 billion economic assistance or a $30 billion assistance package. It would take, 100 years for this program to spend anywhere near that. This Congress, the reconciliation bill is increasing the subsidy payments by, in some estimates, $50 to $60 billion over 10 years. And so this is a really small amount of money in terms of what the federal government spends, particularly in terms of what they spend on farmers. And so it's not a budget cutting exercise. Like this, there's no justification in terms of the federal budget. But what I think is fascinating or frustrating or particularly troubling or problematic about this is, again, to Austin's point, this makes no difference in the federal budget. But when we look at the impact on individuals, that it's enormous. It's potentially existential. It's potentially putting farmers out of business. And it's hard to come up with a justification for doing that. Again, we're not saving the taxpayers a lot of money. In fact, we're probably going to cost people money over the longer run because of the challenges it raises in communities and on the ground. And so you're not getting any real savings, but you're really hurting farmers and those who depend on the food that they produce. And so there's really no justification for this. It raises more questions than it answers. And it's particularly troubling when we think about the amount of additional spending that we seem to be willing to do for some farmers, but really cut at programs like this. And so I can't explain it in terms of a policy decision because there is no basic policy rationale behind doing something like this.
All right. Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are talking about a recent elimination of federal funding for a program nationwide here in Illinois. It's called Illinois Eats, about $14 million, which is a fraction of a rounding error on the federal budget, as we've been discussing. But it aimed to connect farmers with organizations that help hungry people in Illinois. We're talking about this with Jonathan Coppes, ag law and policy expert at U of I Urbana, Austin Flam of Flam Orchards in Cobden in southern Illinois, and Heather Edwards, director of Rooted for Good in DeKalb County. Heather, your organization started as kind of a community garden organization. It existed before this program. Are there opportunities? Is there anyone else who can sort of make up for what this funding meant for you all?
There isn't a way to make up for, we were given $1.5 million with this grant. So there's no way for us to make up for that. There's small things that we can do as for ourselves. We do have a small amount of money set aside to buy in fresh produce, but we won't be able to make up what we were able to purchase in. I mean, we purchased in 15 months over 360,000 pounds worth of food, and we impacted over 500,000 people that came between us and all of the other food pantries that we were serving.
Austin Flam, you mentioned being a specialty crop grower. And I know we've talked on the program before about what it's like growing peaches in Illinois, not something that people often associate with the Prairie State. But I wonder if you can speak to, do you feel like the government has in mind people who do what you do? Or, when we talk about farmers, most people maybe think of corn and soy commodity products. I mean, talk about how you think of the U.S. government when it comes to supporting farmers, as you often hear people on both sides of the aisle say they want to do.
I think the government probably supports farmers in large. Now, when you talk about specialty crop growers, my short answer to that would be no, I don't feel like we get support. But the little longer answer to that would be, you know, you just look at the farm bill from 2018. There was something like $428 billion put into it, almost doubled the amount in spending. 76% of the farm bill went towards SNAP. The new farm bill, they're talking about $1.5 trillion, 81% of it going towards SNAP. When you look at SNAP in general, about 10% of all SNAP dollars get spent on soft drinks or artificially sweetened drinks. That equates to about $12 billion annually spent on soda. So whenever you consider the $14 million that they took away from a program that was providing nutritional assistance through produce, dairy, protein, and giving it to the people in need that truly need it, and benefiting farmers, benefiting food banks, benefiting the neighbors, it doesn't make any sense in my mind. You know, going forward, I feel like there's nothing that's going to come of these talks with the LFPA program. But going forward, you have to have something written into the farm bill to help support specialty crop growers. And what a better way to do it than providing nutritional assistance to those in need? Take some of your SNAP dollars and put it towards something that's a lot more meaningful all up and down your supply chain.
Jonathan Kappes, we're coming to the end of our time together. One of the themes of these, we've had so many of these conversations now about what does X federal cuts mean for Y group of, you know, people in Illinois. Is there any chance that, you know, the state could step up, or, you know, there are already multiple state level grants aimed at helping smaller farmers? Is there a role for Illinois to play in filling these gaps?
I mean, that's a great question, and I don't want to speculate too much on state budget and what's available, but my guess is that it's going to be difficult to find that funding. And I think, again, one of the things we're seeing coming out of Congress and Washington, D.C. is something like with the SNAP program, where the cuts they're making to SNAP program will be pushed down onto the states. And so the challenges that we're talking about for purchasing fresh fruits and vegetables and helping low-income families just put some food on the table, that's going to get even more difficult. So the cost savings that Congress is looking at in the reconciliation bill, some of those are getting pushed down the state. That includes SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, Medicaid. And so even if the state had the budget to do so now, where these changes are likely headed is going to eat up a bunch of funding. So I don't see a real good opportunity or possibility for the state to pick up much here at all, frankly.
Mm. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. An interesting conversation, and we will continue to follow this as we have so many other areas of the federal government and how the actions there are affecting people downstream here in Illinois. Jonathan Kappes with the University of Illinois, Austin Flam of Flam Orchards, and Heather Edwards with Rooted for Good. Thank you so much for being with us today here on the 21st Show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's it for us today. Coming up tomorrow, it's well known global warming is changing our environment and our weather, but what is it doing to us? That is the question neuroscientist Clayton Page Aldern set out to answer in his book, The Weight of Nature, How a Changing Climate Changes Our Brains. We'll have that conversation tomorrow here on the 21st Show. We'd also love to hear from you about what we talked about today, or what questions you have about the big, what they call the Big Beautiful Bill, formally, that is the title, in Washington, the tax cuts, the Medicaid cuts. What questions do you want us to answer about that legislation? You can let us know by emailing talk@21stshow.org, talk@21stshow.org. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We will talk with you again tomorrow.